This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson,
and joining me is Darius Thomas.
I woke up this morning, I was like, why did I say 9 a.m.?
Do you have what it takes to be a champion? Ever wonder what it's like to be one? Well, today's guest knows all about it and gives us a peek inside of what it took for one of college basketball's most recent champions to be crowned. Jalen Wingate, creative media producer for Gamecocks Women's Basketball, is here to share how this championship season unfolded and how both he and the team got to this point.
All right, JP, what time are you going with?
47.
That was terrible. As always. Let's do it. I'll try not to screw up.
I got faith in you. You got it, good dog.
Thank you. It's a foggy one-take Darius this morning.
It's a foggy one-take Darius. And we are back on the Creative Sports Podcast.
What if social teams could execute on-brand creative from their phone in under 90 seconds? Well, now you can with Team Plates. It's no secret that we're in a time where content needs exceed internal resources. Social teams want content ASAP, and creative teams want to maintain brand standards. My mission with Baller FX is to make motion design more accessible. So we've set out to create a product that frees your creative team up by allowing non-creatives to execute on-brand content anytime, anywhere. Your team, custom templates, delivered on time, on brand, in seconds. Email Justin at ballerfx.com to book a demo. That's Justin at ballerfx.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Creative Sports Podcast. We have a special edition, as we have a champion in the building.
Oh my goodness.
Recently, off of 2 hours of sleep, we have Jalen Wingate, the creative media producer for the national champion, Gamecocks Women's Basketball. Jalen, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, big dog. Glad to be here.
So as much as we would like to start at the most recent, we can talk about the journey that has been culminated. And you're not done yet. This is the second championship that you've been a part of as a full-timer, right?
Technically.
So talk about your journey to becoming a producer at one of the, you know, premier creative departments in college space.
So believe it or not, when I started off at like a little 2-year school called SMC, Spartan Methodist College, it's up in Barnburg, South Carolina, like an hour and a half from Columbia. And I needed money for school. Like I had nothing. Like I lost my scholarship my freshman year, you know, as everybody has a good freshman year, I just didn't know work. So I needed money. So I picked up my mama's camera and was like, hey, you know, I'll do like a little $20 photo shoot for you if you need some photos or whatever. I was just trying to rack up on some bread. And I was like, you know what? This is kind of cool. And then after I graduated from my 2-year school, I went and transferred to South Carolina, which is where I'm at now, obviously. And I needed like a little work study job. And I got my work study job through this guy named Alex Grant. He interviewed me and he saw something in me. I don't know what he saw at that point in time, because I didn't think I was good at all. But he saw something in me and he was willing to give me a chance. And I just went from there. I've been, you know, in the creative world since.
How many years did you spend as a student? Did you do 2 more years, or were there 3 more undergrad years at South Carolina?
Just 2. I just did 2. My junior and senior year. And then after I did that, I transferred to Mercer and was a GA for like a couple months. But, you know, nothing too crazy for real.
Gotcha. And in those 2 years that you know, were under the tutelage of not only Alex, but other creatives who are either still there or have gone on to, you know, continue to work in the creative space, what were some of the biggest lessons that you learned in that time period?
Oh, that's a good one. I learned, one, to shoot everything, because you never know what you might need. Have faith in yourself. Remember to always trust yourself to get a shot, and don't ever like don't get too high with the highs and too lows with the lows. Like, honestly, I think Coach Staley might have preached that to Alex, and then Alex preached it to me, which would make sense. So, like, I always had to remember, like, you know, if something doesn't go my way at a game or at a shoot, like, it's fine. I'm like, we'll make it up. We'll get it later. You know, it's fine. And I think the biggest thing that Alex really instilled in me and like some of the other creators did was just shoot your shot. You never know what might happen.
Shoot everything and shoot your shot. Kind of like someone that you all just beat in the national championship, but we won't go there yet. So talk about your time at Mercer. Like it was, like you said, it was short-lived. You were there for, you know, not that long before going back. What are some things that you picked up on or learned during your time at Mercer?
I think there when I was at Mercer, I really like honed in on like my leadership skills a little bit. Like, so when I was a GA there, like it was me and this other guy and we had like 20 interns and that was it. Like that was the creative department. It was me, him, and interns. But even then, like he kind of was on like more of the broadcast side. So he was always in like the recording room and always like making sure. Sometimes he'd be like running replay. Sometimes he'd be directing. Like he didn't ever really get a chance to really just go and be creative. So it was really just me and the intern. So it's like, I just kind of had to learn how to lead, learn how to talk to people, learn how to talk to coaches, which is people don't know it. Talking to a coach is kind of a skill. Like, you know, if you can't articulate what you want to a coach, it's kind of rough. It's gonna be a rough little season for you.
Yeah, I guess to build off that, how do you talk to a coach? How do you approach them? A conversation at the beginning of the season where you set the tone, and then if something pops up, you have that built-in relationship with them in order to be able to approach them? Or is your primary contact one of the assistant coaches? Can you give us a little bit more insight into how all that works and how you approach it?
For sure. So at Mercer, you know, it's school is a lot smaller. So I would be in contact with, you know, the head coaches a lot more than I am now. So we would sit down, we'd have conversations. We'd be like, I'd give them my plan for the season. I'd be like, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to help you guys out at. This is where I think that you guys could grow in this area. Or, you know, just kind of giving my feedback in the creative space and the social space. Like, because at the end of the day, you know, it's my job to, one, help them grow as like a brand, help them grow as a team, but also it kind of helps in recruiting. So like at that point in time, it was my first like dose of recruiting for real. So I was just like, look, we can do this, this, and this. That way, you know, you can pitch this to your kids and the kids are trying to go after, and then we'll go from it from like that, you know? But in this, at this school now, it's more or less like, before I had this position, I was more in contact with the assistant coaches of other, like the other teams. So it was still the same. Like I'd be like, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to do. If you don't like this, we can try switching it up to doing something else. And we'll just go from there, you know?
When you came back to SC, it sounds like it was a short stint away after being a student and graduating and coming back and being full time. Is your focus mostly on the creative and shooting and editing side of things, or what does that breakdown look like?
When I first got back to SC, it was very much like I was technically the project manager of New and Creative Media. So it was the shooting, the editing. I had to, you know, I was there to build up our interns and hire them, train them. I oversaw them, you know, like that was my wheelhouse. That's what I had to do every day. And then on top of that, at that point in time, we had a TV show that we put out every week during the season, like football season and the spring season. So like, sometimes it'd be, all right, Jay, you got to do this. You got to go shoot a game. And then on Saturday, we got to shoot the football game. And then after we shoot the football game, you got to go shoot the TV show with Coach Beamer. And then after that, put the TV show together, send it off, send it out. That's all in one night. So like, it was it was fun. It was cool. But like at the same time, it was a lot. You know, I had help. I had my coworker, Ethan Still, and then Danielle Williams. They both helped me out throughout the season when we would switch off like every 3 weeks. But like it was still a lot, you know?
Absolutely. Those coaching shows, especially the way that you guys do it and, you know, some others, that quick turnaround is killer. Transitioning from a student to a, you know, even though it was GA position, what was that like for you? Like, was there like any type of adjustment period, or was it kind of similar since you were going, you know, to not a Power Five school for a position? Like, what was that mental transition or adjustment like for you?
It was different for me, because I was very much like, but I'm not gonna say like I was used to leading. Like I had no idea what a leader was for real. Like I had no idea how to be a leader for younger people. I had no idea how to really talk to younger people and not come off abrasive for real. Like I had to kind of take time to like think about how I would want to handle certain situations. And I still do, because like my first reaction might not be the best reaction at the time, but you know, if you give me time to like really think and come up with a solution to a problem, then I'm pretty sure I can come up with a solid solution. But that transition, man, was just, it was different for me, because I'm not gonna lie, like Mercer was cool, but like it didn't necessarily set me up to be successful in a way. Like I was really trying my best, and I think they were trying too, but I just don't think me and the school were good fits for me to grow for real and for me to help the students up under me grow. I think that at the end of it, we both had our time. You know, we did what we did, and I think we did the best that we could with what we had, but at the same time, that transition for me was just, it wasn't what it should have been, in my opinion.
Definitely feel you on that. So last thing I'll ask you, like in the early phases, is you have a lot of people who are about to graduate, who are looking for jobs or trying to figure out what's next, or thinking that, oh, when I leave school, I should just, you know, go Power Five. But you chose to, like, you know, go a different route, even though you worked in a great program. What was the feeling of, should I go get a GA position, or should I seek a full-time position? And did you feel like you were ready for a full-time position, even though you had done 2 years at South Carolina as a student?
That's a good question. So, was I ready for a Power Five position? Absolutely not, in my opinion. I was not ready for a Power Five position. I think I wasn't used to the time crunch that I learned, and like the ability to turn things over quickly. But I think the main reason why I decided to go to be a GA instead of going to and getting a Power Five job was really just because, like, well, you know, knowledge is power, education is key. And like, I had to remember what my goals were before I could remember like what I wanted for sure. You know, like me going to a GA program was for me just because at the end of the year, like after I'm done and doing what I'm doing, I want to be a teacher. Like I want to be a professor at a certain point. Like, so I had to go to school. I have to go to school. Like I'm still not done with school, but like I have to get my degree so that way I can be a professor at these schools. So that was the main reason why I wanted to go that route. You know, like I wanted to get my school paid for. Like I said earlier, like I lost all my scholarships at one point in time. So like, it was really just me paying for school, me and my mom paying for school. I had a little bit of money, a little bit of scholarships, but like, I wanted to know what it was like to have my school paid for free. That's really what it was.
Awesome. So what year was that you got back?
I got back in 2021. So I was at Mercer, and then I went to Temple, but I was at Temple for like a year. But that was like my first full time And then I came back.
About the Temple year.
Yeah, because it was just COVID. It was weird because it was COVID.
Because you and Danielle worked. Were you guys at Temple at the same time?
Mm-mm. So she was at South Carolina with me for like a couple months. Then she took a job at Temple. And then when she left, I took her job. She recommended me for her job.
And now you're back in South Carolina.
Now I'm back in South Carolina.
So, well, we won't gloss over Temple because you were there for a year. Talk about your time at Temple and what you learned in your third position of work.
I love Temple. I love Philly. I loved everything about Temple. I wish, you know, I'm not going to say I wish I could go back, but sometimes I wish I could kind of stay there a little bit longer. I learned so much there I learned one, what it was like to kind of, you know, being in the South, being in Georgia, like I'm still close to home. So I learned more about myself than more about being a creative at Temple. You know, like I learned that one, like, yeah, you're by yourself, but you know, sometimes you need that peace and quiet time for yourself. That way you can really just think and just kind of like decompress. So like when I was at Temple, I learned that I love my space. So, you know, it was a really good time. Really, really good time.
So, you know, you go from South Carolina, go to Mercer, go to Temple. What was creatively probably one of your like most memorable times at Temple? Like, because I mean, were they good at anything, or did you just have to make the best of what you had there as well?
A little bit of both. I had to make the best of what I had because at that point in time, like the football team had a really good season beforehand. But when I got there, I think they might have won 2 games. But also at the same time, like I said, it was COVID. So it was like everything was rough. Like there were some strict stipulations of what I could do, where I could be. Like I couldn't really be in the football facility for real. Like I could go to practices, but I just had to stay outside. But I'm kind of glad I stayed outside because, you know, at that point in time, it was COVID. I'm scared of everything. I don't want to be by nobody. I'm all masked up. Like, but that's kind of how it was. But I had football. I had women's basketball. Women's basketball was solid that year. But I think the most fun I had up there creatively for it was with their gymnastics program. Like, their gymnastics program won their conference championship that year. They were so welcoming, so nice. Like the girls were nice, the coaches was awesome. Like I try to keep up in contact with the former athletes now, just because of how cool they were. Coaches too. Like when I have a chance to go to an event or a meet for them, if it's 3 hours away, I might be like, look, I don't got nothing going on. I'll come shoot. I'll come to support. Like whatever you want me to do, I'm there. Like they. You know, lifelong relationships there with that team.
Yeah. And that was the first time you shot gymnastics, right? Or did Mercer have a team?
They did not. That was my first time shooting gymnastics. I had no idea what I was about to expect when I got there. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is awesome. Like gymnastics is, I had no idea what to expect. And then they just kind of blew me out the water.
Yeah. And it's one of those sports where even from a creative standpoint, if you don't know the sport, you're like, oh, that was so awesome. And then you get a coach come back and saying, you know, that was actually bad technique. Can you take that out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you have any of that? Or did you have coaches like kind of working with you saying, hey, here are the things to look for, like the toe point or the hand point, all that?
Yeah. So it was a little bit of both because like I had made this one video. I was like, oh, look at this. Like, you know, look at me. Like, I did this for you guys. Like, is it cool? You like it? Mm-hmm. But they were just like, And I was like, well, okay, well, what happened? What did I do wrong? Was like, give me feedback. And they're like, so let me teach you these things about certain things. Like, she didn't stick the landing for real. She kind of stumbled at the end. Her balance was a little off here. Like, just certain things like that where, you know, it was easy for me to, like, learn after a while. And then on top of that, they would be like, here's a sheet of the stats. Like, here's where we did well. So take what your favorite parts from their routines and just go from there.
Are you shooting tighter?
I was at that first. No, I was as wide as I could be because I had no idea what to expect. But after a while, like you kind of realize that certain routines are the same, and it gets so much easier to kind of like pick what you want from there and go from there.
Any projects that stick out from your time there?
Either the recap from after they won their Eagle Conference, or I think maybe. Actually, no, I'll take that back. I'll take it all the way back. I helped out my boss at the time. His name was Richie Rasper. I helped out Richie do like this Temple Tough series, which was really, really cool. They had already shot it. So like, you know, during COVID, I'm essentially just like editing from home. So it's like he sent it to me and I'm putting it together. And I'm like, this is really cool. Like seeing, because with the Temple Tough series, we really went and had an athlete from each sport. And we talked about like what makes, you know, Temple, like what makes you Temple Tough? Like what makes you essentially like what makes you different for coming here instead of going somewhere else? Like why did you choose Temple instead of going wherever else you wanted to go, you know? And it was really like a really cool series. Like I really thoroughly enjoyed it, hearing from other students' perspectives and seeing why they wanted to come to Temple, because I'm not gonna lie, I had never really heard of Temple until like, you know, Coach Staley for real. But even then, I was just like, why would somebody want to go to school in Philly when you got, you know, this small school in the heart of like downtown Philly? Like, what's the appeal? But after, like, you know, everybody told me like what it was that they loved about the school, I was just like, oh, I see. I do see.
When you're doing something like editing somebody else's content that you weren't necessarily involved in the pre-production or the shooting or any of that kind of stuff, and you're coming to edit it, did that help you with your shooting or how you saw things in any way, shape or form?
I think so. 1000%. Cause you know, there's always something that I could, like, for example, the Temple Tough series, I had no idea how to set up an interview the way he set it up. Like after I saw how he set it up and how the light was falling on the athletes, I was like, this is actually like a really dope setup. So I learned some of the pre-production of behind like setting up an interview and how he lit it, and things of that nature. So like, I think you can always learn from, you know, just editing and like seeing how people get their shots and how people shoot, because nobody shoots the same, you know?
So in Philly, they have, what is it about? Like 5 universities that are in Philly, mm-hmm. like Temple, Villanova,
Drexel. St. John's. I feel like I'm forgetting one. I think I'm forgetting one. I can't remember the other one.
Yeah. So with it having all of those universities like in proximity, were there any moments that you were like going to see what some of those other schools were doing as well?
UPenn, Thomas Jefferson. Yep. There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
For me at that point in time, nah. Like I said, it was COVID. Like I was scared to go anywhere. I was my house, if I could go to work, I go to work, and then I go to the grocery store, and that was it. Like I was in the house, I wasn't doing nothing. But I would try to keep up with like other schools, like their social medias. Like I loved what Villanova was doing at the time, just because their men's basketball program at that point was like solid. They've always been solid. So it was just like learning what I could do and like where I could kind of emulate from them was cool.
Yeah, what went into the process of going back to SC? Like, how did that come about?
I was missing home. I told you, like, you know, when I was in Philly by myself, I learned that I loved my space, but at the same time, I also realized that I love my family so much, and I had to figure out a way to get closer to home. I was kind of in a rough spot at a certain point in time, and I didn't realize it for real, because you know, I was like, I'm having fun, I'm doing my thing, but I'm calling my mom every morning, every night, just like talking to her. I'm like, I never called my mom this much when I was at like in South Carolina. Like, so I realized that like I miss my family, and I was like, I have to figure out a way to get closer to home. So when South Carolina came a call, and I was just like, this is perfect. Really, it was just like Alex had said, well, I told Alex how I was feeling. Alex Grant, my mentor, like I said earlier. And he was like, look, we're about to be hiring a new position soon. I'm not going to be here, but I can definitely, like, you know, throw your name into the pot for you. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, like, that'd be perfect. Go back to my alma mater. Go back an hour and a half from home. That's everything I would want. And after I had to really sit there and think, and I was, at first I didn't really want to go, because like I said, I was enjoying my time in Philly. My friend Danielle was working for this church, and she was like, we were just on the phone talking, and she was telling me about how she was editing this sermon from this church that she was working at. And the sermon was, if you can stay comfortable in a spot, then you can't grow. So it's time for me to really, like, it was time for, he said, it was time for you to get uncomfortable and learn how to grow in your faith and how to grow as a person. So I was just like, you know what? If this isn't God trying to tell me right here, right now, that this is time for me to go and move back home and be in an uncomfortable position. Because I didn't want to go back. I was cool. I was comfortable. I was like, got it. This is my chance. This is my time.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about family and, you know, calling your mom every day. You're the oldest of seven. What was it like being the big brother growing up?
Oh, my goodness.
And how is it now?
Being the oldest of seven is so much responsibility. So much responsibility. Like, at a certain point in time, like, I would, in high school, my junior and senior year, I was going to a different school than where I was zoned for. Like, I stayed in Spartanburg, and I'll go to school in Greenville, which is like 20, 30 minutes away. So I wasn't supposed to be doing that at all, for real, but I didn't want to stay at my high school no more. So I would have to wake up in the morning, early in the morning, take my little brother to school, and then my baby brother, I would have to take him with me to Greenville and take him to my grandmother's house. After I dropped him off at my grandmother's house, go to school, go to practice. After practice, pick my little brother up, drive back to Spartanburg, pick up dinner for either me and him or everybody in the house if I had to. And just rinse and repeat. It was rinse and repeat for 2 years, you know, like, I didn't necessarily want all that responsibility, because I was just like, I want to enjoy my time. Like, I'm a junior, I'm a senior, like, let me do what I want to do. I'm young. But, you know, it was fun.
Do you think that responsibility helped prepare you for, you know, leadership? I know you talked about at Mercer, how you learned a little bit more about leadership, but do you think, you know, being the big brother kind of helped you in mentoring and leading young people?
1,000%. 1,000%. Like, I think the way I talk to my interns now is kind of like how I talk to my little brothers. It's just like, I'm very much open, honest, and I try to talk to them like they're my little sibling. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, like, yeah, that's cool, but did you have done this? And then I'll just, like, I'll joke around with them. Like, so I think me being the oldest of seven definitely taught me, like, how to be, or at least helped me to become the leader that I am now.
I mean, hearing that and then hearing what you said earlier about your first year in college, I think really makes sense with you letting loose after doing that for 2 years, rinse and repeat, as you were saying. So I totally understand why you may have lost a scholarship or two, cut loose, because you felt like you'd had a lot of responsibility and that was kind of your time to get some of that back. But that's cool to hear that you stepped up and were there for your siblings.
Now that you're back close to them, like, how often do you try to get back home and see them? Or how often are they coming to Columbia to see you?
I was about to say, how often do I try to get back home? Not that much, for real. Like I said, I love my space still, but nah, they every time we have a game, every time I'm working, my mom and at least two of my brothers are at a game. Like, football games, I don't know how it's going to work for real, because my mom became a big South Carolina football fan since I've been back, and my little brother is diehard South Carolina football. It might just be them going to the games, and I might just be at the house just watching, but they would come down every Saturday faithfully, rain, snow, If it's cold, they ain't gonna go, but they be there.
So they like me, they don't like that cold. Not doing it. What's been so far, aside from basketball, we'll get there. What's been one of your favorite sports to kind of work with since you've been back?
That's a good question. I would say it'd be between like women's soccer, softball, and football. Those would be like my three outside of women's basketball. Like the atmosphere at football is insane. So shooting a football game,
the best.
It is. It, like the atmosphere there is just, it's crazy. You can't, I don't think, I've never seen anything be replicated or even be close to it for real. Then softball, like I said, genuine people, genuine team. Shot my first softball team for real at Mercer. So like when I got here, it was just like seeing how the energy was kind of similar. It was just, it's crazy. I love softball. And then our women's soccer program is actually like pretty solid. Like I think when I got back, they didn't win the SEC tournament, but they were in it, and they I think they made it to like the semifinal, and they lost there. But that next year, they end up winning the SEC tournament, and then they end up going to kind of like the Elite Eight or Final Four, I think, for women's soccer. So it was just like, oh my gosh, like y'all are something serious. And that was like my first team for real when I got back here as a full time. So I was just like, whatever y'all want, whatever y'all need, I'm here.
Yeah. So yesterday I was talking to an former intern of mine, and we were talking about how, you know, things have changed when he first came to Texas. Like he was like, man, I wasn't shooting football for real. Like I was going to tennis with you, or you know, maybe second or third shooter for basketball. And like now you have a lot of kids that like they want to come in and shoot the big sports. You come back to South Carolina as a full-time employee and you're covering softball and soccer. Talk about the mentality that you have to like not focus so much on the big sport. Like, oh, if I'm not shooting this, I'm just going to kind of wade through it. And did you enjoy working with those, you know, Olympic sports? I won't even say smaller teams, but like Olympic sports.
No, yeah. Like I think I hung my hat on our Olympic sports. Like that was my bread and butter. Like I had more fun with them for us sometimes than I had at football, which is kind of crazy to say. But the mentality you have to have about that is like, you know, look, this is where you learn, this is where you grow, this is how you get yourself better. So that way, you know, when it is time, if you ever have to come and shoot a football game or shoot something for football or one of the bigger sports that we have, you're ready. You know what I'm saying? Like this is, you get your reps in essentially. That's what it is. It's a rep. Everything is a rep. However you're going to treat it. Like if you treat a women's soccer game like how you treat a football game, then I promise you by the time you get to shoot that football game, it's going to be easy. You know?
Absolutely. And like you said, get your reps. It's like you, and he and I were talking about this. It's like if you're shooting tennis, like 9 times out of 10, the same thing is happening over and over. And you get chances to fail and, you know, like correct, like course correct, right?
Shot. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Because tennis, when you're shooting tennis, unless a coach wants you to shoot it, we won't get into that. But you're mostly shooting ISOs. And if you don't know the game of tennis, you get to learn in that moment what tennis is. The same with men's or women's golf. Soccer's a little different because, like, if you miss one goal, I mean, that may be the only goal that they have.
Right,
but,
right.
But you get a chance to get reps, get better, learn position of, like, where's the best place to be for certain moments. And I don't think that, you know, whether you're just starting out as a student or whether you're just starting out as a full-timer, going to cover those sports, one, they're exciting.
They are.
Most of the time. Like, especially if you're at, you know, at a school that is really good at it, like gymnastics, for instance, like at Temple, like you probably learn, like, man, people really get into gymnastics. Like when I got to Georgia for the first time, being around gymnastics, I was like, this is different. Having 10,000 people pack out your basketball arena, and not even basketball is packing out your basketball arena. So
right.
Get those reps in is definitely good. So what led to you getting back on, you know, in the atmosphere with women's basketball?
Man, when I tell you that as soon as I took this job to come back, I was like, look, be honest. Can I work with them a little bit? Can I work with them? That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. And Justin was like, my boss was like, you know, of course, like I want you to work women's basketball. Like that is the plan. And then we ended up hiring like some more basketball positions. And it was like, all right, well, I'll just kind of back them up. But that same time, women's basketball had their own person. Like they're like, it was kind of crazy to think about, but women's basketball kind of has a lineage of creatives, which is kind of, it's weird to think about here at the, like, South Carolina, but like we've had the main creative person has always been like solid, and it like we all know each other, like we're all really close. So you know, you had Alex, then you had me as an intern, then Alex brought in Kendrick, but the way Kendrick got that job is like they were like, hey, Jalen, like what are you doing? Are you like what are you gonna do after you graduate? I was like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm trying to go get a full time job is what I was thinking at the point in time. I was like, I'm trying to go get a full-time job. They were like, oh, okay, well, would you be open to being a GA? Nah, I don't want that. Then I go to be a GA. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's probably good that you left, though, right? Like, the different perspective, and it sounds like what you got from both Mercer and Temple, I think that's healthy to have left. And because if you would have stayed and taken that GA, you might not have had the same... You wouldn't have had the same path, and maybe you'd be itching to leave now as opposed to having what you had, and then you came back, like you're coming back home, and you sound like you're in a really good spot and happy with how things are.
Oh, for sure. Like I'm kind of glad that I am glad that I left, because like I said, my perspective wouldn't be the same. But you know, I got Kendrick on. They were like, who would you want to come and work for us? Then I was like, this guy right here. So I got him in, and then after that, we ended up hiring our basketball position. Her name was Sam. Sam was the sweetest girl you could ever meet, for real. And then after she left, I was like, all right, well, I'm still here. Let me just go and step into this. Like, and the thing is, what's crazy is, like, I really didn't want, like, once Sam left, I didn't think I wanted to step into it, for real. Like, I think I was just nervous and scared, and I didn't want to come in and mess something up that it been running pretty well without me, for real, like at the range. So I was just like, I don't think I want that. But my mom was like, Jalen, like this is what you've wanted. Alex had to even say, like, Jalen, this is what you've wanted your whole creative professional time, 10 years so far. Like, it's time. And I was like, you know what? All right, let me step into it. I'm not gonna be scared. We're gonna run. We're gonna do what we can do. We're gonna do the best that we can do, and we're gonna see what we can get. And the rest has been history.
So the obvious, you know, that everyone probably wants to know is, what is it like working for such a legend like Coach Dawn Staley, who's accomplished so much? She's experienced so much, you know, going to 3 Final Fours as a player, you know, playing in the national championship game, coming, you know, close to winning as a player, Olympic player, played in the W. I mean, the accolades go on and on and on. And now 3-time national championship, could have been 4, could have been 5, could have been 6, right?
Yeah.
What is it like working so closely with a legend like Dawn?
So when I first started working for Dawn, I was, you know, starstruck. I can't even speak to this woman for real. Like I am not worthy to even be in the same room as this lady. But my first trip, they went to Stanford. And at the time, you know, Sam was still here. I was kind of backing Sam up. And you know, I was like, this is, you know, my first trip with y'all. Y'all having pregame meal. And I kind of showed up late. Everybody's already eating and the table, one table is dirty. And I'm just like, all right, like, table's dirty, the other tables are full. Like, I don't really know nobody here for real. I'm going to go take my plate and go sit in the corner and just eat my food and just kind of be out of the way. That's what I was naturally thinking. Like, let me just be out of the way, go sit in the corner.
Yep.
Coach Staley comes by, she's like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, Coach, I'm fine. Just, you know, the table was dirty in there. Nobody's cleaned it off yet. And I didn't want to, you know, bother anybody. Really, you know, just trying to stay out of the way. And she was like, all right, well, you know, do your thing. And then she comes back later on. She was like, hey, this table was cleared off. If you want to come over here and eat with us? So, like, I heard that she literally cleaned off the whole table by herself for me to come in there and sit with them and eat. And I was just like, bro, like, this woman is amazing. Like, I didn't think that she would think little old me, that she hadn't really been around and really talked to for real at that point in time, would be worthy to kind of, like, be with her team. But I think at that moment, I was like, I love this lady. There's nothing I wouldn't do for her. So being at the championship this past week and seeing Coach Staley cry, I started crying. I couldn't. I'm so serious. I got a whole video of my phone with me ugly crying after we won, just because Coach crying, I'm crying. Everybody's emotions is crazy. Like, I love that lady so much. There's nothing I wouldn't do for her, for real.
That's a lot to unpack, because, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, I think, about when you're around teams, like on the road, you travel with them, which, you know, you haven't always had that, right? Mm-hmm. And I was telling them about a situation where when I was at Ole Miss, how when the basketball team would go eat, I would go on this side. Like, I would go eat in the restaurant. And one of the coaches was like, bro, like, you're not eating, like, we got all this food. And I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of like letting y'all do y'all thing and kind of that brush off, right? Like, okay, you know, we'll just know that, you know, the food is here, right? And so to be able to have the relationship with a coach, first of all, that shows leadership from Dawn, that nothing is too smart, because she could have easily went and got some GAs and be like, hey, y'all clean this table off. Or she could have just let you, you know, sit in the corner by yourself.
Yeah.
But for her to clean the table off and invite you over and bring you in, that showed, like, hey, everyone from the top to the bottom is in, right?
Like, yeah.
We're all a big family. Like, she talks about family all the time, got the fams, the fans. To experience leadership like that, like, did that, like, remove, like, hella nerves from you, like, moving forward? Like, you know what? I'm in.
No. No. It's Coach Staley, bro. Like, Coach Staley, I love her to death, but it's like, I'll be like, hey, Coach, how you doing? Like, but, you know, it's like, she's done nothing to make me feel nervous at all. Like, she's honestly probably the most genuine people I've ever really just met. Like, she's authentically true to herself. Like, she's her every day, 24/7. And, like, she's her.
So I get to Texas in 2017. One of the first teams that I get a chance to work with is women's basketball. And who's one of the assistants at the time? None other than the Tina Thompson. And I'm like, I watched her growing up, you know, with the comments, was a big comments fan with her, Cynthia, and Cheryl. And being able to be on the same court to hit record, and she was just like, she was just naturally herself, right? But, like, Tina has always been Tina. Like, you knew who she was. You knew, like, what she was. At the time, she was, like, the all-time leading scorer in WNBA history. So, yeah, when you talk about being starstruck by, you know, a legendary person like that, that's always going to – and I've interviewed, you know, Matthew McConaughey and Eli. I've driven Eli Manning around Oxford, like – and I'm like, this is the person? that you're going to choose, and not saying like she's smaller than any of them, but it's like at any moment, like I've interviewed Kevin Durant, but to be around Tina, like I had that exact feeling. So you told us that like a memorable moment for you was receiving a text about a video. Kind of talk about that for us.
Going into the Final Four, I knew I wanted to do something special this year for a piece of content. Just because last year we're in the Final Four, we lost to Iowa. You know, there were so many expectations about the team last year. They thought we were going to go undefeated. That was the plan. I think it was championship or bust. Like that's what we want. You know, we've said it all year. We're going to go undefeated. We're not going to lose no games. But to get to the Final Four and then take the L like how we took, it crushed everybody. So, you know, this past year, this year, for us to be back in the position of being in another Final Four, at this point in time, I was like, what can I do to essentially make everybody feel this one, right? I was like, give me the freshies. The freshies at South Carolina is the freshman class that Coach Staley brought in. That was like the number one recruiting class, which kind of put, like, we were already on the map after Asia won, but we got the freshies. They put us on the map and they kind of held it down too. Like, you got Aaliyah Boston, Zaya Cook, Letitia Mihir, Bree Beal, Olivia Thompson. Like, we, those five, cement had like a legacy here. So I was like, give me them. They were the seniors on that Final Four team that lost. I want to do a voiceover with them talking about, you know, getting this team to take the next step because they couldn't. They didn't. So I was like, give me them. I had Diana, RSID. She's a beautiful writer. Like, she's one of the best writers I've ever known, for real. She wrote the voiceover for them, sent it. I put it together and we posted it. And then at first I was like, I don't know if this is going to be like, you know, received in the right way. Like, I feel like people might just like it just because it's the freshies. But like, Coach Staley texted me. She was like, wow, like this video really brought me to tears. And like, you really did your thing. Like, you made me feel you on this one. And I was just like, like I said, I get starstruck. So to have her text me personally and say, you made me teary-eyed and you made me feel this one, that was by far like the biggest, like, I'm not really one for recognition, for real. I don't really like putting my stuff in awards and ceremonies, and I don't really like all that at all, for real. But to have somebody text me and say, like, to have not even just anybody, to have Coach Staley text me and be like, no, like, you did your thing on this one. Like, that's all I needed. That's the most recognition. That is an award by itself. Like, that's all I needed, for real.
Yeah. And so, like, going back to that freshman class that is absolutely insane, to have all of them like come in, right? And so their first year was the COVID year. Like, well, 1920, right?
Uh-huh.
So they were, do you remember what the record was that first year?
I think they only lost two games that year. They lost to, I think, NC State and Indiana, I think, is how it went.
Okay. So a lot of games won. And not a lot of them lost.
Mm-hmm.
The next, and if everyone can remember, you know, the NCAA tournament was canceled. So that year, there was a lot of hype around South Carolina possibly playing Oregon, because Oregon, you know, had Sabrina Ionescu, and they had a pretty good team. Like, both teams were like like, I think if I ever wanted to see a game happen, it would have been that one.
Yeah.
For the national championship. They come back the next year, they win the national championship. Or was that the year that they
lost to Stanford? They lost to Stanford. Final Four. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So close, but then they win it. But then they come back for the last year to be undefeated, play Iowa, doesn't play their best game. We all remember the game if we watched it. But to have all of that happen in a 3.5 year period, coming into this year, no one gave him a chance. And by nobody, I mean they were ranked number 6 coming into the season. And it was disrespect. And I feel like South Carolina took that personal, as the legendary GOAT would say.
For sure.
But you guys started this season unconventional. You started the season, opened up the basketball season in Paris. What was that like?
Bro, Paris by itself was, you know, I had never been overseas. Like, I had never been to Europe before. So, like, taking the whole team out to Paris to play a basketball game was so cool. So, so cool. Like, we went to the Eiffel Tower. We had, like, a riverboat tour. Have y'all ever heard of Kith? Like, it's like a designer. Like, they're a fashion company.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Well, Kith that opened up their store for us, and, like, they let us come through. Ticket. We had like a little party in there. People were shopping, chilling. I never knew this about Kith. I had never really heard of Kith until I went. But mm-hmm. They had like a whole like little ice cream bar downstairs. Ice cream was phenomenal, and it was just Paris was so fun. Like I can't say nothing else. But Paris was fun. I wish I could go back for real.
Yeah, and to open up against another really great team who has a historic program as well with Notre Dame, and to have people there watching women's basketball. Like, what was that game experience like?
Man, like, it was so much love, bro. There was so much love. Like, the arena was packed out. Like, at the time the game was over, everybody was like out of their seats, like around the court, just kind of like trying to like show love to us and like get hugs, get photos with the girls, get autographs. Like, there was so much love at that arena that day. Like, to even one, for that to be like the game to open up the season. And Coach Staley said this on the Riverboat Tour bus. He was like, for it to be, you know, two black coaches opening up the season in Paris on this stage was special. Two big programs, predominant programs, two black head coaches that are authentically themselves. And then on top of that, you had the freshman class that nobody knew about yet, with Hannah Hidalgo and Malaysia Fort Wiley about to go out there and do their thing. Like, that was, the game was special. Like, there was nothing else that game didn't have. You know, it was the best game I had actually been a part of at that point.
Yeah, I was watching some highlights on Instagram from that game the other day. I didn't realize that Hannah had 31, but even as much as she showed out in that game and kept her team in it, everybody remembers one play from that game.
Uh-huh.
Walk us through what happens in that play and everyone around the world, not just, you know, casual fans, but everyone around the world knowing who Malaysia Fort Wiley is at that point.
First off, that play was crazy. It really, if I remember correctly, I think Hidalgo, Hannah had got a steal off our point guard, went down the court, got a fast break layup. Malaysia tried to go and get a block, like a chase down block. One, I didn't know Malaysia could get up that high to try to get a chase down block, but she got up, and I was like, okay, but she didn't get it. So Leigh gets the ball back on a fast break, coming down, and goes behind the back, comes back, fakes a pass to come back to her right, and then, you know what I'm saying, get a little layup like that. I'm behind the camera at this point. I'm sitting here like, did she really just do this in the middle of a game? Because, like, people say that she's
As a freshman.
Your first game. People have been saying that she's different, and I hadn't really seen it before, for real. Like, she showed me, like, little spurts in practice. But to see that, on, like, if you go back and watch the clip, it was, like, 3 or 4 people around her. I was like, this girl is special. Like, I can't say nothing else, but this girl is special.
Did you miss the play?
Oh, no. I made sure I got it.
Like, you were, like, frozen the moment catching it? Or, because seeing it in person, I would have lost my mind, honestly.
So, at that point in time, I think I was so nervous that I didn't really let it bother me for real. Like, because I was the only video person that was there for the team. So, it was just like, if I miss it, I miss it. Like, I'm trying to get everything. One, I will also say I didn't set myself up to succeed for real, because why am I shooting so close on the baseline to this goal with a 70 to 200? I don't know. But
yeah,
I got it, though. Yeah. So that's all that mattered.
We would like to see the film.
I feel like those are the plays that the refs always walk in front of you on, too, right?
Look, the way I almost didn't get it because my mans was sitting there. If I didn't lean forward to go get it, we wouldn't have got it.
Yeah, that play, I remember I was sitting in this exact spot watching the television, and I was like, when she came down, bounced it around her back to get around the defender, then she gets into, it was almost like a Euro into a, like a, I was like, is this Ja Morant or is this, like, who is this?
Yeah.
Because she played a really good game. She brought, you know, good energy the whole day. But, like, she had a couple in that behind-the-back pass that she did, like, later on. I was like, yeah, this kid has the potential to be special. But playing the game the way that they did that day, did you kind of know after that, like, they're going for it all after this?
No. No shot. I had no idea. I'm not going to lie. Coach Staley said it best. She didn't know what we had for real in the summertime. I definitely didn't know what we had. I was like, I can see the glimpses of how good they could be. I was like, maybe at this point in time, we might be like Sweet 16, Elite 18 at best. Might have been what I was thinking for. I was like, we're going to be a good team, but we not going to win no daddy this year. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was telling everybody that. So for us to go out there and do what we did all season long to go get one, I said, well, I'm glad y'all made me eat my words, because this has been a crazy time.
Yeah, so you've talked a little bit about how you work directly with the women's basketball team. How does that position collaborate or roll into the new creative operation that SC has?
So essentially, with the new creative operation that we have, like, football does their own thing, and then athletics does their own thing. So, you know, at one point in time, my boss was Justin King, but now my direct supervisor is Eichel Davis. So, you know, my current supervisor is now Eichel. So it's me, him. We have our other basketball guy. His name is Sam. Sam Straker. And then we have Daniel Carter, who is the senior producer, who is like Eichel's backup, I guess you could say. He also kind of oversees a lot of the athletic side. And we're also hiring two more positions, like one that will, like, be like a baseball position, and we'll probably oversee some more sports. So it's like, to see our, you know, like, our department split, but I think we also are also having success in this athletic side. It's because, like, our athletics teams are doing really, really well right now, and we're crushing it, in my opinion, when it comes to content. Like, it's been really cool to see. Really, really dope to see.
Cool. Yeah, so you guys are covering the Olympic sport, so to speak, outside of football. And you had mentioned having interns. Do you have students helping with capturing content, editing content, your coach's show, and all that kind of stuff as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, we don't necessarily touch the coach's show anymore. That's a Learfield and, well, a Sport and Story and Learfield type of thing. Gamecocks Plus. But we have currently, I think, maybe like 18 to 20-ish video interns. And I think we might have 36 total interns. I think, if you give us something. So it's like, we've upped the ante when it comes to our size, like, in the amount of kids that we've had, because I don't think we ever had this many that are this good, in my opinion. Like, we have I think every big team or big sport we have has like a primary and a secondary student that helps out with a full timer. So, you know, baseball has, you know, Dan, the senior producer, and he also has like two very reliable students that help him out a lot. I have mine, I have my sport, and I have this kid named Jordan Coleman. His Instagram name is Shot by J. Cole. He's a wonderful photographer, wonderful kid, love him to death. And the thing is, like, he's not even trying to be in the sports world after he graduates in May, you know? Like, he's going to go, he has a job lined up at Oracle to go do tech sales. Like, I'm like, how are you this talented in photography, but not even, you, this is your hobby, you know? Like, this is crazy to me to think about. Then I have this other girl, her name is Ellie. Ellie is technically my secondary when it comes to creative video content for women's basketball. So it's, we got like a nice little team, a nice little squad going. But, you know, I'm excited to see if we grow or change anything up next year. I need to find somebody to come and fill Jordan's shoes because he's about to leave me. But, you know, it's cool.
And then the content that you're producing sounds like it's mostly for digital and social. Is there any content that you produce that goes gets played in game?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even talk about that. But, yeah, we do everything. So in venue, social, recruiting, it all comes from, well, for women's basketball, it all comes from me and my team. And for everybody else, I think it's pretty much the same thing. Like, we touch everything here. Like, I had Ellie put together this little hype video for the SEC tournament that we used in venue. That was the only time it had been played, was in venue of the SEC tournament. So I'm curious to see if she wants to try to redo it for in venue when it comes time next year. But, you know, we'll see. We shall see.
Obviously, you know, this has been a special season, but I'm going to go to a specific moment because the pictures, hopefully you submit one of those. So you guys played a big game on a Thursday night in Baton Rouge that, you know, outdid a Celtics Miami Heat game against LSU. But the game was important, but yourself and Sheldon brought out some heat with the outfits. What kind of went into that?
So really, if I'm being honest, I know that our coaching staff is going to dress up for every big game we have. And I'm like, I can't be the only person on this staff that doesn't look good for real, for real. It can't be me. It can't be. And then if you know how Sheldon gets down and how the coaching staff at LSU also gets down, they also like to dress up. Coach Mulkey's fits, I'm not going to say they're great, but they're something, you know? So I was just like, you know what? I know if Sheldon's going to dress up, I'm going to dress up. Like, if he dresses down, I might dress down just to be comfortable because it's going to be a big game. And I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I was like, if I have a chance to dress up, I'm going to take it. So, also, quick tidbit, that was the same fit I wore when we won the national championship.
Did not know that because I didn't see you during the national championship. I know. I was too busy coaching from my living room.
Oh, okay.
But you were right there. But, you know, alas. So to kind of stick with that, though, is like the closeness now of creatives. Like back when we were coming up, we knew creatives, but it wasn't like, you know, family, like with creatives from other schools. Do you, like, what goes into that? Like the building that community and family of creatives?
That's a good question. I think, believe it or not, having somebody to just connect or put you all in a certain area that we all kind of are in the same spot, we all are together, is a good thing. So like group chats, our group me that we have. Also, I think, you know, having the fact that everybody went through something at that same time, where it's like all you had to do was just turn to people that you knew or can relate to, it helped. 1,000%. So like me and Sheldon met through the group me that we have. Me and Ike Tag, we met through the group me that we have. A lot of me and a lot of other black creatives and Darius, you know, there's like all these other black creatives around the country. We all know each other really, really well through this group meet, just because I think during COVID, we had nothing else to do but to talk to each other and tell, like, check in.
I played the fifth.
Oh, okay. So we had this this chat, and it was just, it was a good time in this chat, you know.
But yeah, the and going off of that, it's like not only just, you know, a small group of people, but when you look at like all of the creatives now, it's like there's a lot of respect for other creatives, even though, you know, design Twitter, we won't get into them because they get extremely weird. But from a video standpoint, there's hardly ever any, oh, you stole my style, you did this, you know, it's more of camaraderie. Is it, do you think it's more because a lot of us go through the same kind of experience as videographers and editors, or is it just we like to see cool video?
I think it's a little bit both. I think we like to see cool videos. We like to see if we can do it, you know? And I think it's like, you know, I think for on the creative video side of things, you know, imitation is the best. What's the saying? Form of flattery or something like that. Imitation is the best form of flattery. So if you can imitate something that you've seen and you can make it your own, you'd be like, you know, you got to pay it. Like, sometimes you don't got to pay it for it. You should pay it for it. But you'd be like, you know, I got this from, I'm going to say, I got this from Darius, or I got this from Justin. I learned how to do this from Justin. Like, you know, once you figure out how to do these things, and sometimes they'll even teach you how to do these certain things. You can ask them questions on how to do these certain things. I think that's what makes our side of, you know, the creative video world so nice, is the fact that we're always, you know, very much willing to help each other because we want to see what somebody else could do with the same technique we just learned. You know, like, I think that's why, you know, I just think that's really just why we want to see what somebody else could do with it. We want to see it used somewhere else.
Yeah. You've been able to work with some awesome dudes, like to now work with Eichel, having worked with Justin King, and having worked, you know, getting your start under Alex. What's been the most enjoyable part about those experiences, and how have they been different learning from those three guys?
I'll go through each one. So you got Eichel. I honestly look at he is my boss, but I look at him more like my brother, believe it or not, which is kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of take like little jabs at him here and there, and he'll take little jabs at me here and there. So it's like, you know, I got his back, he got mine. And, you know, I think that's what makes mine and his relationship so good for real, is the fact that we're honest with each other. And you can, like, he knows when I'm serious. I know when he's serious. If I feel as if something is wrong, I'll tell him. And if he feels as if something is wrong, he'll tell me. Like, I think that's what makes mine and his relationship so good, is that we're just, we treat each other like we're brothers, for real, for real. I guess you could say the same thing with Alex, but I think the thing with Alex, I think I, not to, this is going to sound wrong, but I put Alex at a higher totem than Eichel. Like, Eichel is good, but Alex is, to me, like, when I was first getting into this world, it was Alex. Like, I wanted to be like Alex. Like, whatever I can do to be like Alex, like, that's what I gotta do. So, like, I look at him more as, like, my mentor, I guess you could say. But at the same time, he is also, like, a big brother to me. So it's kind of cool to have a mentor and a big brother that is also gonna, like, he's gonna help me get to where I want to be, but he's also gonna, like, keep it real with me. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you get you a mentor, they might not, they'll tell you how to get there, but they might not be like, I don't know if you should really do that or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he's, Alex is riding with me to the end of it, you know? Justin is like the godfather in the creative industry world. Like, he, you know, he's been here and he's been around the block. He knows everybody, for real. So, you know, having Justin around, when Justin is pushing you to make a video, you are going to hate it, absolutely hate it, and hate yourself. But I promise you, by the time you're done making that video, it's going to be one of the best videos you've made. Like, that's just kind of how Justin is. Justin's going to push you to be the best version of yourself. You might not like it, but it's going to be like a, it's going to make a pretty bomb ass product, in my opinion.
When he's pushing you to make a product, is it more so encouraging you the way that he wants to see it? Or is it more so like, I know that you have this in you. Not that I'm trying to convince you to do it this way, but I know that you can, like, you're capable of more individually.
I think it's a bit of both. I think that, you know, sometimes Justin can kind of be like, what if you did this, this, and this, and this? But then it's like, also at the same time, he also realizes that, you know, this is your video. So let's take it to another level. Like, you know, Justin is very much like, I see, like, for me, when he would work with me, he'd be like, look, I'm telling you, you came here to get better. I'm going to push you to get better. So you have this video, but you can definitely take it up another level. Like, do this. So let's figure this out right here. And he kind of gives me more of a strategy. He helped me better understand the strategy behind making a video, if that makes sense. So, like, sometimes you just kind of get to kind of just plugging and playing and plugging and playing clips inside of your video. But he taught me to think more about placement and what happens in this video and what you see and what you feel in this video, to kind of plug and play and kind of help intertwine it with the music a little bit. So Justin is very methodical when it comes to making these videos, and he kind of teaches you how to be a little bit more methodical and help elevate your game.
All right, we're going to play a little game here. If I can get my stopwatch going here. So you're going to have 30 seconds. And I'm not going to tell you yet what is it. You just got to build some suspense here while I take my phone.
Okay.
All right, you get 30 seconds, sir. You've been around a lot of creatives. You've watched a lot of creatives. We're going to give you 30 seconds to build your dream team of creatives. And when we're done, who's going to coach that dream team of creatives to be the best in the world?
Okay.
You ready?
Before we go, how big is the team?
You got 30 seconds. You can, whoever you want on this dream team, and as many as you can name in 30 seconds, that's what it's going to be.
All right. Okay.
And then we can, once we have your people, then we can obviously, divvy them out.
Okay.
So you ready?
Yep.
3, 2, go.
You got me. Give me Sheldon. Give me Benjamin is mute. Give me, I like AJ Poindexter from Penn State. Give me Chanel, Ms. Nails. Give me Alex. Give me Eichel. Give me, I need another photographer. Give me Jacob Reeves.
Okay.
Give me DJ Conrad.
Time's up. DJ Conrad. That was the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. That's a solid dude. That's a solid squad. All right, who's gonna coach and direct this team?
Oh, did I say Alex? I don't think I said Alex in that team.
You did put Alex on that squad.
Okay,
and Chanel.
Give me Alex.
I'm coaching this team because this is a squad. I want to coach. No, Alex is amazing.
Darius just wants to.
I just want in with that team. Like, bro, yes. Like, I just want to go be in the back eating bonbons like I'm married with children. With, like, a squad like that, do you even have to direct or coach them?
If we're being honest, probably not. Like, I even with Eichel being my boss now, like, I don't think he ever has really had to, like, direct and or coach me. So with this team, I think we would all know what we need to do and what we all got to get done.
Yeah. I mean, with you, Sheldon, Alex, Eichel, and Ben all shooting, I could sleep well at night.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. You got some hitters on that team.
And the one thing about all of those people that I just named, they've all, like, and Ben is obviously, like, younger in the game. But one thing that you have is people who know how to shoot everything.
Yeah.
Like, they know how to capture atmosphere. Like, multiple national champions in here with you, Sheldon, Alex. But you know how to shoot more than just the game. And sometimes that's an even bigger art when you know how to capture everything in the moment. So, like, if all of you are capturing a football game or a basketball game or whatever it is, you know that you're going to have all the shots that you need to make magic.
For sure.
Everybody knows, like, oh, I'm going to stay here on the React while this person is definitely going to get, you know, the crowd or this one person that's doing this. So I think that that would be phenomenal. So speaking of Eichel, he actually went to the national championship, Final Four national championship with you this year. What can we expect out of this masterpiece that you're going to have to put together?
Be prepared to feel anticipation. Like, I think I built it up to the point where you feeling like what we like, just the seriousness and the energy of it. I think be prepared to feel that anticipation. There will be a little bit of swagger and there'll be some tears. Like, be prepared to feel all of that, in my opinion.
I'm gonna ask, even though I hope this is in the recap or mini movie that you do, because Leah Boston has put the pressure on you. She said that, you know, she tweeted and said, oh, I already know that this recap is about to be, like, fire.
Uh-huh.
Everyone wants to know, in both of those games, because both were close at halftime, what was the halftime like inside of those locker rooms? Was it intense?
No. What's crazy is, like, if I'm being completely honest with you, like, during halftime, coach is really all X's and O's, if I'm being completely honest. Like, she's like, this is what we did wrong. This is what we can do. We're going to run this play. We're going to change this defense. Let's go execute. If I'm being completely honest, coach is very much like, I'm going to just give it to you like how we're doing. We're making problems. We got some problems we need to fix. Let's fix them. It's the players, when coach isn't in, that I think they voice to themselves what is wrong. And they encourage themselves in those moments at the halftime that when they come back out, they're ready. Like, NC State game, when it was close and we were up by one at that point in time, literally we hadn't been shooting well at that point in time. And I kid you not, everybody was like, it's fine. We're down. We know it. Our shots aren't falling, but it's all good. Our shots about to go in the next half. And we went out and we lit them up. In that first, like, third quarter, and then the first, like, 5 minutes of that third quarter, we lit them up and we shot the ball extremely well. And we were up by, like, I think at one point in time, we were almost up by, like, 15. So I was just like, coach don't ever have to say anything. It's really just the team. They're the ones that say what needs to be said to themselves, and they hold each other accountable for real.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen this on the internet, but they have called South Carolina the third quarter Warriors, because everybody knows that third quarter, if you're not on your A game, they will blow you out in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you've experienced a whole lot of high moments, low moments, you know, sad moments and all this, but you stay true to yourself, stay humble, you know, and, you know, kind of stayed in the moment. What is some advice that you would give to younger creatives who would want to be where you are? Oh, I want to capture, you know, national championships, or I want to capture this. What would be some advice that you would give to them?
Never get tired with learning, and never keep the same energy you had at day one on day 500. You know what I'm saying? Like, treat every day like it's your first day. Keep that same excitement, that same energy, that same poise that you had on your first day all the way to your last day. You know, I think that's what I would give to them.
It's interesting that you say the first day, because most people is like, oh, treat every day like it's your last. Like, but that is a good way to look at it, because like when you first get into something, 9 times out of 10, you're like bright eyes, right?
Uh-huh.
Super excited, ready to go, like, oh, this is the best thing ever. But then by, you know, day 100 or 500, like you said, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of getting comfortable. Does that, do you always keep in mind with you know, going back to that sermon of being uncomfortable, like moving forward, like always be uncomfortable?
For sure. Like, obviously, when you come into something for the first time, you're going to be uncomfortable, right? So if you can go in on your first time and you're uncomfortable and you want to try all these different things and you're scared and you're nervous and you don't want to mess up, it just shows that you care. So if you can go in uncomfortable and nervous from day one all the way to day 500 and you care at day 500 just as much as you care at day one, that's all that matters.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.